Well, good evening, everyone. I invite you to open with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We are going to be reading Luke beginning in chapter 16 this evening. If you are visiting with us, this is the last Sunday night of the month of November. We here at Northwest like to take the opportunity to take this last Sunday night and take this opportunity to read the Word of God instead of a sermon, but to, as Paul instructed, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And for the last few months, we have been going through Luke, and for this year, we've been going through the Gospels. Tonight, we'll be going through chapters 16 through 20, and then month of December, obviously closing out the book of Luke in our time together for the last Sunday of December. I'll hold the majority of my comments for the length of time in getting through this together, only to give a very short and condensed idea of what we're going to be reading, just for a timeline of what we'll be reading together in the Scriptures. Beginning in chapter 16, going through 20, is really nearing the end of Jesus' life. The timeline that we're going to read tonight would put us at Jesus ever so slowly approaching his time for his final ascent up to Jerusalem. So the things that we'll be reading tonight will have an overlying theme, and some of those themes, one is his journey getting closer until chapters 19 and 20 when he's in Jerusalem. But some of the other overlying themes that I will have you to notice and take attention to, one would simply be that there's many parables that we're going to read in these Scriptures together. Another thing that we're going to read a lot about are the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests and all those elders and leaders. Well, they have made a plot to themselves to end the life of Jesus. And at every step of the way in the Scriptures we're going to read together tonight, they're trying to test him, ask him questions, all in an attempt to help him to hopefully trip himself up and find something against him so that they can find a way to bring him before the magistrates and ultimately kill him. Some of the other things that we're going to be taking notice to, we'll notice several healings. There's going to be an underlying theme of faith. Jesus takes this opportunity through the Scriptures we'll read tonight to talk about faith and faith's importance as opposed to deeds. And we'll be taking a look at that and then ending in chapter 20. So I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible tonight. Whatever is best for you, I encourage that. If you're someone that wants to just simply listen, then please focus by the listening of the Scriptures. We'll try to do that uninterrupted. Or if it is better for you and your consumption to read along, I invite you to do that. Luke chapter 16. Would you begin with me there? Now he was also saying to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. And this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. He called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes." He summoned each one of his master's debtors and began saying to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil." He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. He said to another, "How much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill, and write 80. His master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. He said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. He who marries one who is divorced from a husband commits adultery. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And there was a poor man named Lazarus, was laid at the gate, covered with sores, longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus was in his bosom. He cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame." Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than if he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink'? He does not thank the slave because he did things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things that are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only which we ought to have done.'" While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at distance met him. They raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" He said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." He said to the disciples, "The day will come when you will no longer see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of the part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. First, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating, drinking, they were marrying. They were being given in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop, whose goods are in the house, must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed, and one will be taken, and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." Now, when he was telling them a parable to show that at the times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.' The Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." They were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He said, all these things I've kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They who heard it said, then who can be saved? He said, the things that are impossible with God, with people, are possible with God. The things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Peter said, behold, we have left our own homes and followed you. He said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at that time and in the age to come, eternal life. He took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And the third day he will rise again. The disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of the statement was hidden from them. They did not comprehend the things that were said. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped, commanded that it be brought to him. When he came near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. When all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. He entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house. He hurried, came down, and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he is gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem. And they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. He called 10 of his slaves, gave them 10 minas, and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, master, your mina has made 10 minas more. He said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be an authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, your mina master has made 5 minas. He said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? Having come, I would have collected it with interest. He said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him. Give it to the one who has 10 minas. They said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethphage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent 2 of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on, which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went ahead, found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord has need of it. They brought it on to Jesus. They threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, these stones would cry out. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you, surround you and hem you in on every side. They will level you to the ground and your children within you. They will not leave you in one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Jesus entered the temple, began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. He was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. They could not find anything that they might do, for all the people were hanging on to every word that he said. On one of the days while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests, the scribes with the elders confronted him. They spoke to him saying, tell us, by what authority you are doing these things? Or who is the one who gave you this authority? Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you a question and you tell me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? They reasoned among themselves, saying, well, if we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it came from. Jesus said to them, nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things. He began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented out to the vine growers, and went on a journey for a long time. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine grower so that they would give him some of the produce of the vineyards. But the vine growers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He proceeded to send another slave. They beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. He proceeded to send a third, and this one they also wounded and cast out. The owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come, destroy these vine growers, and will give the vineyard to others. When they heard it, they said, "May it never be." But Jesus looked at them and said, "What then is it that is written? The stone which is the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust." The scribes, the chief priests, tried to lay hands on him that very hour, and they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke this parable against them. So they watched him. They sent spies who pretended to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so they could deliver him to the rule and the authority of the governor. They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He detected their trickery and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and God the things that are God's." They were unable to catch him in a saying in the presence of the people. And being amazed at his answer, they became silent. Now there came to him some of the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection. They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife, he is childless. His brother should marry the wife and raise up his children to be his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died childless. And the second and the third married her. And in the same way, all seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, which one's wife shall she be? For all seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They cannot even die anymore, because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the burning bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but the living, for all live to him." Some of the scribes answered and said, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they did not have courage to question him any longer about anything. Then he said to them, "How is it that they say the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore David calls him Lord. And how is he his son?" While all the people were listening, he said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love respectful greetings in the marketplace and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance' sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." We'll pause there in our reading. Luke chapter 20. By way of invitation, may I just reiterate two parts that we read. There's obviously plenty that could come in forms of sermon and devotions and invitations when it comes to all that we've just read. But something that sticks out to me first is over in chapter 19. So I will extend this to any one of us tonight that may need to repent of sins. Perhaps you have not yet obeyed the gospel. I want you to listen to the emotion that Jesus has about those living in Jerusalem, those Jews that he came to save. He came to fulfill the law, but they would not hear. It said that when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, that he wept over it. He goes on to say, if you had known the peace that could be brought to you by the things I'm going to do, but you won't take it, you won't receive it. And it says, Jesus says, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Friends, the time of the visitation is now. Jesus has done all that needs to be done. He has conquered sin. He has conquered Satan. There is nothing left to be done except for you and for I to accept this awesome and amazing gift of grace. Jesus weeps because he knows his own people are not accepting the gospel. How much more do you think he weeps in heaven today over people coming to know the truth but refusing to obey? The last thought I would have for us is in chapter 20. In verses 13 through 16 in this parable, he very obviously talks about the son coming and being killed. When I think about my sins in my life and others, I think it's our sins that put him on a cross. How could we but not help to come to him in humbleness and ask for his grace and mercy for all that he's done for us? I encourage you, if you're one tonight that knows these things, has known them for quite some time, I would ask you to consider, stop putting off obeying the gospel. Jesus has done all. All he's asked us to do is obey. Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Are you ready to put on Christ tonight? Can we help you? Pray for you. If we can do anything for you spiritually tonight, please come right now as we stand and sing.